Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
Mark Herzlich, NFL analyst, college football analyst for the ACC Network, former linebacker at Boston College with the Giants as well, in the National Football League. Hey, Mark, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning, bud.
Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it, Mark. Let's start with the NFL, certainly, and a team that you know and you played for, and that is the Giants here. You know, Taz and I were talking about a little bit earlier on. I mean, another ugly performance yesterday at home against the Buffalo Bills. We know Eli Manning there. You've got Daniel Jones. You know, when do you think that transition is? Some would say not now. Some would say make the argument transition now. Get the young quarterback as much experience as you can. This Giant team's not going anywhere. What about from your perspectives, Mark? What do you see when you look at that quarterback spot for the Giants here moving forward?
Yeah, it's, I think that it's too early to throw him in full time, but I don't think it's a problem at all getting him playing time. Especially the past couple games where they've been obvious in the start of the second half that the game is pretty much out of hand. And it doesn't show on the scoreboard is out of hand. It's just as you watch the game, you just see absolutely nothing sparked by the offense. The defense hasn't been able to stop anybody. So, It's a very concerning time, I think, for Giants fans. They're watching their team implode almost, and the carryover that they were hoping to see from last year in Pat Shurmur's second year as head coach and second year with a new offense and second year with a new defense, you're hoping there's more continuity and there's some sparks, especially with all the changes that the general manager made. And they haven't seen any of it. So I definitely think that Daniel Jones is the bright spot of the future. I think Eli Manning he's played in a way that doesn't allow a ton of success for the team. I mean, he's only had 8 throws over 20 yards in the first 2 games, and he's 3 for 8 and 0 touchdowns and 1 interception. So, you know, when you're not able to get the ball down the field, maybe due to receivers or whatever it is, you start to say, okay, let me see what I saw from that young guy, Daniel Jones, in the preseason. And I think that after week 4, I think that's when a lot of general managers start to look at their team and say, okay, we've gone through the first quarter of the season. What changes do we need to make? And I think that week 4 is a time that you might see, or after week 4, week 5 is when you might see a change, but I think it's too soon so far.
Mark, let me ask you, because I watched this game too, and you could tell like the energy, the difference with a young quarterback like Josh Allen for the Bills, and there was a different type of, just watching it on TV, it resonated a different type of energy to the point you're kind of making. With Eli, there was a different type of, not the same energy. From a defensive perspective, as a guy like yourself who's played at the highest elite level, you've been across some great offenses, some bad offenses, and all different type of offenses. Can you feel that difference? So if you're across from a veteran guy who doesn't have that same energy, maybe he's long in the tooth as a player, no disrespect on Eli, but you get where I'm going. Can you feel that as a defensive player, we can tee off on this guy, as opposed to that young gunslinger that, all right, well, he's got a certain kind of energy. We kind of have to be a little reserved here. Bring us into a defensive huddle or defense or a linebacker's mindset.
Yeah, it's actually interesting. It's funny. It's almost the opposite of what you're saying. You sense that young guy's energy and maybe excitement, and you say, okay, let's use that against him. It's sometimes when you go against the guy who's long in the tooth, the veteran, Tom Brady, the Drew Brees, it's not an obvious energy, right? Like, they have a poise about them. And I think that a poise is something that these quarterbacks develop as they go on in their careers. But I remember, early in Kirk Cousins' career, I was lined up across from him, and it was like, yeah, he had energy, but it was almost nervous energy. Mm. And so, like, you can tee off on that. So, there's a distinct difference between a confident energy and like a poise,
right,
versus a nervous energy.
He's panicked.
And,
yeah.
And you can, like, see it in their eyes when
really?
They're lining up.
That's,
they have, like, these wide eyes. And you're just like, oh, this boy.
Yeah, we got him.
He's going to have a rough day.
Yeah.
So for Eli specifically, you know, there's – I think that frustration is you barely see any energy. Like, you don't see a but you never have, right? It's never like you've been like, oh, my gosh, Eli, look at him. He's so energetic.
Right. That's true.
Just, he's never been that way.
Yeah.
So I think Giants fans – can put up with that when you're winning, but you know, consistently losing, you say, okay, well, what's the one position that can change that right now? And it's always in football, the quarterback position. If you have a great quarterback, you have a better chance of winning. If you don't have as good a quarterback, then you don't have as good a chance of winning. So the idea is, do we make that change right now and see what Daniel Jones can do? Or, you know, in my opinion, what they should do is continue with Eli for this year, or at least for most of this year. Daniel Jones needs to have this real-life game experience, but part of that game experience comes from being on the sidelines and listening to the plays being called and listening to how fast everything happens. And then once he goes in, he'll have a better idea because he's been, you know, shadowing Eli, for lack of a better term.
You know, Mark, which team, you know, if the Roethlisberger elbow injury is significant and the Breeze injury to his thumb is significant, Steelers or Saints, which one of those teams do you think could still have a successful year without their star quarterback?
Well, I think the Saints. I think that, you know, Alvin Kamara brings so much out of the backfield, and Teddy Bridgewater is a quarterback who, you know, has done it. You know, he's been successful with the Vikings in 1 year at least, and he's a guy who seems to have, you know, when you talk about, you're talking about energy at the quarterback position, he seems to just have the ear and the minds of the players, and you saw it last year through the playoffs and everything, where, you know, he was so involved, not necessarily on the field. And I think the multiple personnel, the multiple formations that they run, you know, sometimes they have multiple quarterbacks on the field anyways. I think the Saints are set up to, yes, highlight Drew Brees' arm ability and his ability to make plays, but they have so many other weapons that I think the Saints are in better shape to thrive without their quarterback.
Well, you speak of weapons, Mark. I got to ask you, from a defensive perspective, how good is this, you know, as a defensive player going against, I'm saying, a great offense like the Patriots, that's where I'm going. How good is this Patriots team? They have just a plethora of weapons, from Edelman to obviously Antonio Brown now, and Josh Gordon, Tom Brady, well-documented, Sony Michel. I mean, Lacoste at tight end. I mean, how do you figure this out as a defensive player or as a defensive coordinator?
Well, you know, it's, I think, you know, one guy it's fun to highlight is Matt Lacoste, and he was on the practice squad at the Giants for many years with me. And, you know, I think I love to see how he's thriving, because, you know, we saw flashes of him in New York Giants, but he didn't have a big name. Like,
right.
He wasn't the guy. And what I love about the New England Patriots are they take these guys that they see the flashes from, and they give them opportunities. And Matt Lacoste is a guy who come in and get opportunities and you know, he's playing well for them, but you're exactly right. This is going to be the scariest New England Patriots offense that we've seen maybe in 15 years. You know, they have weapons, and a lot of times Tom Brady
Taz, I'm sorry for your bills.
Yeah,
but this time he is going to do it with everybody.
See, Mark, the thing is, I'm a Bills fan.
Yeah,
so Moose is just apologizing.
I just said, I'm sorry, Taz. I'm sorry. It's over. It's over. Be happy you're 2-0. You're not winning the division.
I just want the season to end right now, Mark. I'm happy as a Bills fan. We're good. 2-0, we're good.
Right. Taz, like, get me to the new year.
That's it. We're done.
I want to get to the draft next year.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be. Mark, you know, close out the conversation where you look at, you know, in terms of, you know, around the league. When you look at the Browns tonight in the Monday night game, what kind of, do you think they got humbled enough with their week one performance against Tennessee? What do you expect to see tonight in the Monday night affair against the Jets?
Well, I think that it's interesting. The Browns, I feel like, you know, you talk about humble pie and New England Patriots and all that stuff. I feel like they're kind of the opposite team. They need to, they kind of thrive off of this like cocky mentality,
right.
And it starts with their quarterback, and you know, you just bring in different pieces of cockiness on the outside, and like, you know, sometimes you know, you just got to be the bully, right? So you can't be so finesse oriented, and sometimes when you're that cocky, you gotta, you know, you gotta throw fists and get up and start, you know, fighting first. And so I think that that's going to be the key to the Browns' success. You know, they gotta, it's not just backing up their talk, it's more so let me go out and prove that I can dominate physically, and then we can get to the dances and the celebrations and you know, the limelight afterwards. So I look for them to be physical early, and you know, they got to get rid of big penalties that hurt them last game, and you know, they have a lot of potential, but it's how can they harness a lot of their emotions into, you know, going out and kicking the snot out of somebody.
Hey, Mark, we appreciate it, man. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, and thanks for cutting out a couple minutes for us.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.